Matthew chapter 6, verses 32 and 33. I have 23 on there, but it's 32 and 33. Is that what I gave you, Paul? Okay, because I had a different up here. Okay, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God, in honor of reading the Word of God today. Let's stand and look at these two verses in the midst of the sermon here on the Mount. We find Jesus, he's preaching this sermon there to a multitude of people, a large crowd. And we come down to, through many things here, and we come down to verse 32 and verse 33, and here's what he said. After all these things do the Gentiles seek, because your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. But then he says in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's bow for prayer as we come this morning. And Father, today in this place, it's because of your grace and your mercy that we can even come and gather here today and to stand in this place and to honor you with our hearts, with our thoughts, with our lives. And Father, we just ask that your word would just teach us and speak to us and give us the ability to understand, Father, where we come to get our blessings from and how you want life to work and how we should be working in our lives for what you want us to do. And Father, that your purpose is what our purpose in life really should be and ought to be. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll bless the reading and the study of your word this morning. And we do ask it in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, the context of these two verses is the Sermon on the Mount. The most famous sermon ever preached, it was preached by the perfect preacher, that is the Son of God, that is Jesus. And the sermon in its greatest context is found in the Gospel of Matthew. Portions of it is found in another Gospel. But Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 constitutes this entire Sermon on the Mount. And what is unique about it, people have used this sermon to do all kinds of things with spiritually and methodically and religiously, I guess, in their lives. But let's come this morning and just gather a few facts about it and then come and look at these verses here today. The Sermon on the Mount is the message Jesus gave to the multitudes that day to show them, to show us, to teach us how we are to live our Christian life. They didn't call it Christian back then, but we know it now as the Christian life. The Christ life is the best way to put it. So the Sermon on the Mount is how to live the Christ life. It deals with the mind as well as with the heart. In our thinking, in our heart, our attitudes, our motives, everything. This sermon deals with all of that, the Sermon on the Mount. And it depicts what true discipleship really is. We see it in all of its aspects. We look at it and we read in detail. And it's quite the discipleship manual, so to speak, for us. It also, this sermon also describes a life of grace and glory. And this is really important for us to think about this morning. A life of grace and glory. We think about all the things that happen to us in this world, in this life, the circumstances, the things that are going on all over the world. And you know, a lot of it doesn't make sense. A lot of it we despise, we hate, the terrible things that are out there. But here are the words of grace. And here are the words that bring glory. And it's not our grace, it's God's grace. It's not our glory, but it's God's glory. So oftentimes mankind seeks to do all kinds of things for man's glory, man's sake, and all of this. But here, Jesus gives to us these powerful words and ideas that tell us about the grace of God and about the glory of God. And all these things can only come from God. And so, he's given this message out to the people. We read it today, and so the message is for us, we the people. That's what it's for. And we understand as we read this and come to this, that it always only comes from God. So this is where we are at with this today. So it also shows the spiritual character and the quality of the kingdom. When we get down to the latter verses here in chapter 6, but especially verse 32 and verse 33 and then even on to verse 34, we see the characteristics of what the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is supposed to look like and does look like, and then we compare ourselves to see where we fit in there. So it is the quality of the kingdom. That's what Jesus is describing here. Here's how things ought to be. Here's how things should be in your life personally. And when it's in your life personally, as we saw last Sunday morning, in the power of unity, spiritual unity in the church, when it's true of each of us as individuals, then the unity as a whole, as a group or as a church family, powerfully so, then it's realized, and we then see the power of God, and we realize the power of God working in that kind of a situation. So these are the things that would characterize every church if every believer in every church would adhere to the things that Jesus spoke and taught on that day. And every section, this sermon has different points to it, like an outline or so, but every section of the Sermon on the Mount is repeated in other places in the New Testament. And possibly some over back in the Old Testament as well. So it's repeated in other places in the New Testament so that we know and we understand that something that it's for all of Christian life, and it came through more than just as Matthew penned it here for us. The example of that is the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 opens up with the Beatitudes. Almost all people have heard of the Beatitudes, the Blesseds, or the Attitudes That Be. Some have called it that. And there are those 8 Beatitudes there that talk about the attitude of the human heart. Just for instance, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he delineated those things over and over and over again to describe for us, for the people, and now today for us, it's just as true today, what it really means to have the things of God in our life. So there's a balance between the physical life and between the spiritual life. And if our spiritual life is in line with what God says and what God teaches, then we have the spiritual blessings that he talks about. And there's a section here too, we're not going to talk a whole lot about it, but Jesus went over the Ten Commandments. He went over the law. And for instance, the law says you shall not murder. It says kill, but it means murder. You shall not murder. But the spiritual side of that is we shouldn't have anger. Anger leads to murder. What did Jesus say? I say, if you hate your brother, you've already committed murder in your heart. So God's standard is higher than ours. And he goes down through these and he says, no adultery. So the spiritual side is no lust, because that leads to adultery. And on down it says, no retaliation, but rather forgiveness. And then another one, you've heard it said, hate your enemies. But Jesus said, we are to have love for our enemies. And so we have all of this preceding us in the context of where we come to chapter 6. Now, looking at chapter 6 and then preparing us to come down to these two verses, Matthew chapter 6 begins with the first 4 verses with giving, almsgiving, reaching out to the poor, to those who are needy. That's what the first 4 verses are about. Verses 5 through 15 is about prayer. We see what we call the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer there. And then verses 16 through 18 is about fasting. And as we come up closer to our verses here, then verses 19 through 21 are the treasures in heaven. Don't lay up and store for treasures here on earth, because what's going to happen is if it doesn't get destroyed, burn in a fire or something like that happen, or they rust or whatever, then when we die, somebody else gets it. So that's an effort in futility, so to speak. Then verses 22 and 23, Jesus talks about the light of the body. The eyes is where we come to see. It's the light of the body. If we're looking out into sin, it brings darkness to us. If we look unto the Lord and look unto his word and his truth, and that's light unto us as well. And then verses 24 through 32, there's illustrations from creation. And that's where then we come today. And then that last verse, verse 33, verse 34, I'll read it now, then we'll come back to it in a moment. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, because tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil of that. And it's just talking about the problems that people have. We have them all over the place, and they're in our lives. So that being seen, and my battery went out, I think, or getting close to it. Those who have come to the King must continue seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Look with me again at verse 32. Here's where we begin, verse 32 and 33. For all of these things do the Gentiles seek after. All of the things that he listed above here, money, clothes, houses, things. And he says, he declares the Gentiles, the unbelievers, the unbelieving world, those who do not acknowledge God, they fill their lives pursuing all of these things of the world. And then he says, the Gentiles seek those things. But then he says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. There are things that we need to live in this world and this life. And God wants to provide them for you and for me. And so in verse 33 comes the final admonishment. But you, first of all, first and foremost, seek the kingdom of God and seek also his righteousness and all these things that you need in your life. God says, Jesus said, the Father, he'll add all those things to us. So he's talking about priority, he's talking about seeking. Well, to come to God in the first place, we know that through the gospel of God, we understand who he is. We understand, as I shared in children's message just a few moments ago, that Jesus came to give himself for us so we might receive the forgiveness of our sins. And having received the forgiveness of our sins, we entered into the kingdom of God. Because when John first started the Baptist's first sermon was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What did Jesus, after he was baptized, went to the wilderness and came back after the temptations, what did he say? He began to preach, and the first thing he preached was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so that's what salvation is. It's coming into the kingdom of God. And if you name the name of Christ today, you are a kingdom citizen. And that's what this is about, and that's who Jesus was addressing, and that's what we have for us today. So those who seek the King and know the King and find the King and become one of his own, then we are to continue seeking the kingdom of God, the things of the kingdom of God, and the righteousness of God. So let's look now at these two verses in a little more detail as we come this morning. So beginning in verse 24, Jesus is talking about the concerns of life, food, clothing, shelter, all those things. But he also brings up this point. He says, because we can worry about those things. You know, things happen to you and to me in our lives that hinder us from just taking the necessities of life, being able to gain and keep the necessities of life for us. We go through those types of things in our life. And so he says the natural tendency is to worry about that or to become anxious about that. And so what can happen to us is that will become the focus of our life. And the purpose of this passage, Jesus says, keep your focus where it needs to be. Keep your focus on the kingdom of God. Keep your focus on the righteousness of God. So as we come and we look at these, we say we have to take care of earthly business. Hey, that's just smart. We have to take care of the things and the necessity of life. If we don't pay our electric bill, our electric will be shut off. If we don't pay our water bill, they'll shut off our water. And so on and so forth and that. If you don't pay your insurance premium, you'll lose your insurance. You know, I'm just another little touch of business there. But Jesus is speaking about trust. And that's what the point of this is, trusting God in all of this. So the question is this morning, what really matters to you in life? Well, if you are a kingdom citizen, here is what he has for us today. We are to trust God for all the needs of our life. We are to do what God calls us to do. So there are three or four things this morning that I want to share. The kingdom, first of all. Jesus speaks of this kingdom. In verse 32, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He's talking about the people of the world. That's what they are. That's their priority, to seek it. Now, the word seek in verse 32 and verse 33 are different. The word seek in verse 32 is describing what the Gentiles, the unbelieving world, does. And it's the word that means to seek in a way, in a sense of panic. What am I going to do? What do I want in life? How do I want to to fulfill myself. And so, and that verse is talking about the unbelievers of the world. They have a sense of pursuing after something because that's what they want to get out of life at all costs. So there are those who almost are desperate to become, to have more and more, desperate to have the best of whatever they think is the best of everything. And so he said, Jesus said, that's what the Gentiles do. That's what the unbelieving world does. But now look at verse 33. But he says, but you seek first the kingdom of God. And the word seek there is different in this way. You and I are to value the things of the kingdom of God. In other words, the Gentile world seeks out in a sense of desperation and panic and anxiety there. That's why he gives all those verses before that. But then when it comes to verse 33, he's talking about God's people. We have come to know God, and we come to receive from him the promises that he's made to us. And there's promises given in these verses here for us as well. But it's a kind of seeking that it means a desire. It means with a love and a passion in our hearts, we seek after this, and in the context is the kingdom of God. We are to seek the things of God, the things of the kingdom of God, with a powerful passion and a desire. And literally, it is talking about making it a priority in our lives. A priority. The kingdom of God is to be a priority for in all the seeking and all the desiring and all the getting in this world and this life. In verse 33, what Jesus is saying, it ought to be the things concerning the kingdom of God. And it ought to be seeking the righteousness of God. Those two things. That's what the kingdom is about. That's what your life is to be about. That's what my life is to be about. Everyone who names the name of Christ, seeking the things of the kingdom of God and seeking the righteousness of God, is to be our priority in life. That means the passions of our soul, the things that we do in this life, it ought to be a passion for God. It ought to be a compassion for what He wants and what He has instructed us to do. And then, that's why he says after that, and then all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of those things. So the priority of the kingdom is to value the things of God and to value the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is where we get our standard of morality. If there was no God, and we were all here, I mean, it's not possible, but let's just suppose if there was no God at all, everything just happened like some of these people are saying, that there would be no reason to be a moral person. There would be no reason to not kill people. There would be no reason not to tell lies whenever it suited you. There would be no reason. Why do we know of these things? Why are these things there and put in laws and things like that? Because they're the truth. Because God is righteous. God is holy. God is truth. God is love and all of these things. That's why we have so righteousness is who God is and what God is. And now Jesus is saying here, he said there on that day, you and I are to seek as a priority and a passion of our heart, soul, and life, the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God for your personal individual life. And when you and I as believers who make up a church body, a local church body, they're all over the world, but wherever they are all over the world, we ought to, when we come together, then there's power in the spiritual unity that takes place when you and I, when we have all of the things in our hearts and our lives, have a priority of value of the things of God and the kingdom of God. So we're to focus on what God is up to. We have the kingdom of God is the values of God, which is righteousness, but then here's that the agenda of God. Did you know that God has an agenda? What is God's agenda? You can answer. Pop test question. The redemption of God, the redemptive grace, the redemptive work, the redemptive will of God. That is the kingdom agenda. Redeeming lost people to the Lord. You and I have been given the mandate by Christ Himself to go outside of our comfort zone and go out to the people who are not a part of this kingdom and share with them, compel them with the gospel of God, that they may realize that they are a sinner who stands condemned before God. And none of the excuses that people give, well, God, a loving God would never send anyone to hell. That is not true. By the holiness of God, His holiness demands that He punishes sin. Well, He did. He did it because He punished His own Son in your behalf and my behalf. And so the kingdom agenda then is that of evangelism and discipling, to help people to grow in grace and truth and mercy and all these things. So we need to focus on what God is up to, finding those things, those who are outside of the kingdom, and bringing them in, and with the gospel of God they might understand what it means to have life, to be given of life. Some people say, well, I have life because my mother and father got together. Well, that's true. But what's more true than that is God designed you, chose you, and before He created anything else, you and I were already in the mind of God. Your name, your person, your physical body, your look, everything. God planned all that, decided all that before Jesus even spoke the universe into existence. And that is the real truth. And now there's a kingdom to be sought after. And so the kingdom of God comes through the preaching of the gospel of God. Like John, like even Jesus, and repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so in times of uncertainty, Jesus in this passage, in times of uncertainty, what is the tendency of every one of us? We're all human, yes, I understand that. But what is our tendency? Our tendency is to abandon our values, to abandon the character of what God has in our life, and to do whatever it takes to survive. Oftentimes when crises comes up, if the temptation, or immediately, just naturally, we fall into a mode of living that's just called survival. But Jesus says you don't have to do that. Seek first my kingdom, seek first my righteousness, and God will take care of all these other things in your life, whatever it might be. So we are to seek the righteousness of God even more. So then there is this, that's the kingdom. That's the kingdom picture, the kingdom scenario. But then there's the kingdom responsibility, and that is to seek first. And we have to notice that that word there, seek, in verse 33 is also a command. It's not a command in verse 32, but it is in verse 33. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a possibility, but it is a command of God with full promise. And we'll see here in just a moment, and with full authority. So Jesus is saying here, give priority to the desires of your heart and of your life. Heard a preacher on TV last night. I never thought I would hear, don't hear very many say this anyway, but someone I didn't really expect to hear from, and I heard, just caught part of it. I wished I'd heard more of it, but I came, kind of was passing through to the kitchen, and I heard him say this, and I stopped and watched it for a few seconds. And he said something like this: we have so much of the world to set out in front of us, to affiliate activities and things in our lives. And he was naming things, you know, like sports and hobbies and riches and all this sort of stuff. And he said, there's nothing wrong with those things, that there's not, that's not sin in and of itself. But he said this, he says, when we elevate our passion and our desire for things over and above our desire for God, then that is idolatry. And you don't hear very many people say that very often, especially this man out in California. Out in California. Reminds me of a middle-aged man who's over in the jail. I met him about 3 weeks ago and gave him a book, and it has changed and transformed his life. It's called The Pursuit of God. When you and I want to know God for real, for who He is, you need to write that down, The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. This young man, I gave him that book, and just as he was walking out the door, going back to his pod, and I said, here, I brought this for someone today, and we're getting ready, we're out of time, so I want to give this to you, because I saw that he was really wanting to seek more from God. Well, I came back in the next week, he'd only read part of the book, and he was so excited about God and who He is and all that, he couldn't hardly sit still in the chair. We sit across from one another, we counsel and all that, and then this last last Tuesday, he finished the book, came in, and I want to tell you what, he's almost ready to fly, like we sang that first song today, I'll Fly Away. I thought he was going to do that. But here is something he said that was so remarkable to me. Because anybody here just would like to be in jail? Raise your hand. Anybody? Nobody? Okay, no takers. You don't want to be in jail? Okay, I don't either. I like to go there and leave. As long as they let me leave, I'll keep going back. But here's what he said, and he said it with a passion. He said, I don't want to be anywhere else than where I am right now, because I have found something with God that I never knew existed. And that book, The Pursuit of God, is taking the biblical truth, passages in the Bible, and describes for the reader who God really is. And I believe that's why we have a lack of passion for God. Why we have a lack of passion for the kingdom of God. Why we have a lack of passion for true and genuine righteousness in our lives. Why we want to pursue the things of this world rather than the things of God. And I'm talking about Christian people, not unsaved people. And it's true, it's genuine, it's real. And here Jesus is declaring, but you make it a priority of seeking first the kingdom of God and seeking His righteousness. And then He says, He gives it as a promise, and all these things then shall be added unto you. It's a passion for God. Then the third and the last point here I just want to share just real quick is the authority for all of this. Where do you and I come off with, how do we know this is right? How do we know it's good and everything? I didn't put it on the screen up there, but we probably almost know it by heart anyway. But kingdom authority. You and I are under the kingdom authority, but we have been given authority in the kingdom of God. What is our authority? If you want to look at it, you can, or if Paul gets it up on the screen, it's Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 20, what we call the Great Commission, and it says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That word power literally is the word for authority. All authority is given unto me, where? In heaven. Jesus has all authority over heaven and all authority over the face of the earth. And he says, because I have that, then he gives this mandate, and this is the mandate for the kingdom of God. Go ye therefore and teach or make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then the promise, he said, and I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's kingdom authority. You and I have the power, the authority of God. And not ours, but it's His. And we know that we can trust God because look at God. Just look, go out some night when the sky's clear. It was the other night, it was just real clear. Go out and just look at the multitude of stars all around and everything. The universe works like a very precision instrument, like a fine-made watch, as I said earlier today. And we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So whatever problem, whatever trial you may be going through in life, God is the answer. But for you and I who know Him, the kingdom of God, the kingdom's work, the agenda of God is to evangelize and to disciple people that they may mature and they may grow in Christ. So we are to look at our responsibility of taking all of these things. Then the kingdom glory is that God makes the provision for everything in our lives. So I just want to finish with just asking a few questions. These are questions that I think God would probably ask us. Is anyone or is it people concerned about God's kingdom and His righteousness? Are you concerned? And I ask myself these questions as well. They apply to me as well. Are you concerned about disconnected people? Have you seen a time when people are so disconnected? Their families, their marriages, their homes, their lives. Disconnected people. Are you concerned about the next generation of youth? You concerned about the next generation of children? Are you concerned about other people and other nations around the world? Are you concerned about family, about people at work, your neighbors, your friends that may be there? And I was just telling my Sunday school class this morning, there's a website that has a time clock and seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, and years. And it's like our national debt clock. Have you seen the national debt clock that's constantly rolling over? You know, every few minutes, there's $1 million national debt that increases. These are clocks all the way down the line. And you get down there to the day, about 160,000 people a day pass from this life out into eternity. How many of those people know God? Do we have a passion for people who are not a part of the kingdom?